Shalom and good morning. I want to welcome us to reflect on the Word of God in the book of Hebrews 9, verses 11 all the way to 28. It's a very, very important section of the Bible. And this session helps us to compare the Old Testament sacrifices, the Old Testament ministries, the Old Testament tabernacle, the Old Testament priests, the Old Testament blood, that of the covenant, and the New Testament, and the New Covenant. And we say that the New Covenant is better. It's better because Jesus became the better or the perfect sacrifice. By himself, Jesus fulfilled what the law of Moses, or the law that was given by God in the Old Testament. Jesus became the embodiment, the fulfillment of that law. It will be good for us to realize that the old, before the coming of Jesus, and that is from the time Adam sinned, God himself is the one who instituted the sacrifice through animals. It would be good to realize that. It is God who sacrificed an animal in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. He slaughtered an animal and shed blood of that animal, of course, on behalf of his son Adam and Eve, who were hiding because of the sin they had committed, and God covered them. You see, that animal was able to, you know, to die on behalf of these two sons of God by then. So it was God who instituted that. That system of having an animal to die on behalf of person to sacrifice for to God is the old system, Old Testament system. And that system went on even not only for the Jews, because by then Jews had not begun. It is for Adamic race. That's why people sacrifice. Next time when you see people sacrificing, it will be good for you to realize that they are going through the old system of sacrifice. But God also promised Adam, and Satan was there. He said, still in the book of Genesis chapter 3, he said a day will come when he will defeat Satan, and through the same woman whom Satan had used, God is going to use her and bring forth a son and bring forth himself. God said, I will come through the same woman. Now that's how Jesus was born. Jesus is God manifesting in human person. It is not an easy theology. It's not an easy, you know, theology to explain to people many times. And because people did not understand this, they throw this understanding away and they take back what they know. But you see, Jesus came. Now, what God did for Adam and Eve was a type. Because the Old Testament, the Bible says, was a shadow. It was a copy of the better things that happened through Jesus. All things were a copy. And so the sacrifice was for, you know, figuring out the coming of Jesus one day, or the coming of a perfect lamb or goat that will be slaughtered and sacrificed for the whole world. That's why when Jesus came, John would say, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's why Jesus, one of the name of Jesus is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, because it was to be sacrificed for the sins of the people, so that these people can understand that language they knew of sacrificing. So God also sacrificed. It was the father who would provide a goat or a lamb for children. And that's what God did for Adam. That's what God did even for the whole humanity by the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we don't need to go back to the old system of sacrifice, because the new is better than the old, because the new was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Jesus, here we are told it is better because Jesus entered into the most holy place. He finished the work of sacrificing. He sacrificed once and for all. The Old Testament was a sacrifice was done again and again and again. But that sacrifice would not remove the sin. The sin committed in the old system from the time of Adam had not yet been cleared. Can you imagine? Yes, people were forgiven. And it would be good for us to realize these two things. People were forgiven their sins, but the sin itself was not dealt with. The source of the sin was not dealt with. Let me try and put it this way, that if somebody today would be going through a problem let's say some people continue to wound another person. Let me give a very good example. Let's give an example of a woman. She is being beaten and being wounded, and she is bleeding because the husband is beating this woman. I'm giving an example for you to understand what I'm talking about. Now, there are two things that the person who is helping this woman can do. Number one is to heal this woman, is to bide this woman, is to cleanse this woman. But the source of the problem still continue to inflict more pain. So you are always helping this woman and taking the woman to the hospital, but you are not stopping the source of her wounds. So you can take her to the hospital to be healed. But number two, you can now also face the source of her woundings. You can now face the husband who is beating and battering her. So there are two things: healing the woman and also challenging the husband who is beating, you know, this woman. Now, what the Old Testament could do was only to heal the woman, to try and take the woman to the hospital again and again and again. But you see, the source of wounding, which was sin, was not dealt with. So the woman who is the person or us or the worshiper in the Old Testament, they were forgiven, but the source of wounding was still there, which is the sin. Sins, the sin was not dealt with. All the sin that was committed in the Old Testament was not dealt with until the time Jesus came. Can you imagine? That sin could always make the people to keep remembering what they did, and they would feel bad. Number two, the old system, which was done by sacrifices of goats and calves, and the blood, because they were using the blood, could only cleanse the body, could only affect the outside, the body of a worshiper. But it could not help the spirit and the soul of a worshiper. It's good to realize that a human is made of three parts: the body, which is the outer one, the soul, which is the second one, and the innermost part is the spirit. Now, the blood of the bulls and the sacrifices of the Old Testament could not affect the inside. That's why they needed a better system, a new system, new blood, better blood, that would be able to affect our soul and our spirit. The Bible calls it the conscience. The conscience. You see, you can be forgiven. You can be told, I'm not going to, you know, to, you have committed sin. For example, let's say that you have killed a person. And the judge tells you, all right, I acquit you. And then you're acquitted. You're not going to be punished. But inside you, because you know what you did, though the judge has acquitted you, you are still inflicted with a lot of pain. That's why people kill themselves. People kill themselves because the conscience is still judging them. The outside judge, the judge from outside has not, has acquitted you, has not condemned you, has said, okay, you go. Although that is not very common in the legal life, just for the judge to acquit without looking at it, because there must be righteous judgment. But if that happened, the inside judgment, which is put there by God, will forever plague you. That's why we are saying today, Jesus is the better sacrifice, is the better system. In Hebrews 9:11, so Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered the greater and more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which is not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. For this, for with his own blood, not the blood of goats, so he entered there by his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. This is the most important statement. Jesus entered the most holy place. He entered the most holy place, which is in heaven, but he entered with his own blood, and he entered once for all the time. Once. And he secured our redemption forever. We are redeemed by the Lord. So by the death of Jesus Christ, our conscience have been cleared. Because Jesus did not just acquit us. He paid for the penalty of the sins that you have committed. The blood of bulls could not be able to pay. It could not be able to make the worshiper clean. Under the old system, the blood of the goats and the bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurities. It is bodies. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience or conscience from sinful deeds, so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of eternal spirit, Christ entered. Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That's why he is the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of sin that committed under that first covenant. So you see, there was a penalty of sin. It has already been paid. So if it is not just covered, it's removed because it is paid for. Now, when someone leaves a will, now here we are being told the power of death, that a will is only effective if the one making, you know, the will is dead. So we are told that's why an animal could die on behalf of people. But Christ died so that the will is his wish, his desires could be made true. Now, when someone leaves a will, it is necessary to prove that the person who made it is dead. The will goes into effect only after the person's death. While the person who made it is still alive, the will cannot be put into effect. That's why even the first covenant, was put into effect with the blood of an animal. Now we are coming to talk about the blood here, the power of blood of Jesus. But let's compare the blood of the Old Testament and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, after Moses had read each of God's commandments to all the people, he took the blood of the calves and goats along with the water and sprinkled both the blood of God's law and all the people using hyssop branches and scarlet wool. Then he said, "This blood confirms the covenant God has made with you." That was Moses was doing that. Now, in the same way, he sprinkled blood on the tabernacle and on everything used for worship. Second, blood was being sprinkled everywhere. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. I want us to know that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. This is why the tabernacle and everything in it, which were copies of the things in heaven, had to be purified by the blood of animals. But the little things in heaven had to be purified with a far better sacrifice than the blood of animals. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again, like the high priest there on earth, who entered the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. If that had been necessary, Christ would have to die again and again, ever since the world began. But now, once for all, as we conclude, he has entered at the edge of the age to remove sin by his own blood as a sacrifice. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sin of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Father, help us to wait for you in Jesus' name. Because you've completed the sacrifice for us and you are coming again, not to deal with sin again, but to bring salvation. We look up to you because you are eagerly waiting for you in Jesus' name.